Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Pat Allen Empowered Communication call-in show on LA Talk Radio. My name is Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of Dr. Pat Allen's Want Institute. We are a nonprofit organization that has been supporting the groundbreaking relationship work of our own world-renowned psychotherapist, Dr. Pat Allen, for more than 50 years. Tonight, we have Patricia Elton, Dr. Pat's collaborator for almost 25 years on the show with Dr. Pat, as Dr. Pat is transitioning into retirement. Patricia is an author, dream analysis, and transactional analysis. Patricia will help you better understand Dr. Pat's teachings. Before we get started, please write down the call-in number to get Dr. Pat's answers and guidance on your relationship questions and issues. Our call-in number is 323-203-0815. Again, 232-203-0815. If you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back. Please make sure you pick up the callback number after calling the station. The WAN Institute offers help and guidance with communication tools, and we currently offer ongoing monthly ladies groups facilitated by Dr. Pat, myself, Sue Wagner, and Kelly Ward. If you want information regarding the monthly ladies groups, please email me at info@drpatallen.com, info@drpatallen.com, or call the office at 949-723-0338 to sign up. And now let me turn over to Dr. Pat Allen and our host, Patricia Elton.
Hi, Pat. Here we all are.
Hi, Patricia. And I'm here, too.
I know you are. I want to get right to it. Some of your most groundbreaking information. I want to ask you, why is it that, what do you mean when you say women should be cherished and men should be respected?
Because they're scientifically built for it. They have two neurotransmitters. One goes to the right lobe and one goes to the left lobe. One takes care of feelings. Women today run their lives based on their neurotransmitters. Dopamine, norepinephrine, cortisol. Some of these are really fun and some of them are really painful. Men, however, run their lives on their intuition, which is built on their brain, because men want to control things and women want to feel good.
Well, that being said, Pat, that is the crux of a lot of your work, is to cherish and to be respected. So let's...
That's what all human beings are going for.
That's right.
Everybody is both masculine and feminine. Men have yang bodies, which are masculine, but they have yin souls, which is sensitive and feminine. Women have feminine bodies, which are built to feel good. Estrogen is a feel-good hormone. But they have masculine souls.
Right.
Are instinctive.
Ooh, intuitive. That's right.
No, so, that's men.
Yes.
No, men are intuitive.
Yes, men are intuitive and with the feminine soul.
Well, scientifically, we're all both.
Yes, we are all both. And that's why you always say that we need to choose a primary position.
Well, we don't need to choose it. It usually is trained into us by parents, churches, governments.
Well,
we're
in our
a bit of a problem in Iran right now.
Pat, we were talking
women
about
be women.
When you're in a relationship, you choose a primary position if you're going to be in the feminine position or the masculine position.
When I deal with clients, I ask them, Which do you want, woman? Do you want to be cherished for your feelings first and respected for your thinking second? Or do you want to be respected first and cherished second? And I ask men and women. So very often men will choose respect and want to do good to feel good.
Very good. Well, thank you for that, Pat. And Sue, I think we're ready for some callers. Sue?
Hello.
Callers, we're ready for some callers. Now, thank you. Thank you, Pat, for that teaching.
Oh, Pat, she's back on, I think. Yeah.
Yes. I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that being said, it's the crux of the work. The crux of a successful relationship is choosing where you are primarily.
Well, for example,
your primary position.
That's first, exactly right. Because two masculines, whether they're girls or boys, are going to do, I think, what do you think? You're going to be competitive. I'm going to say something.
Otherwise, no one is butting heads. That's when they butt heads like two rams.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And when you have two feminine position persons, what happens
Nobody's
there?
Nobody's running the show.
Right. Everybody's emotional. Okay.
But somebody's always running the show, and it's usually grandma, grandpa, or somebody.
And that leads us into our script work.
That's script work. That's right. I'm a transactional analyst. Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. When you were born to be a woman, but your dad wanted a boy, you're going to be trained to be a boy, but it isn't going to be a very nice boy because they're not living their life the way nature is planned.
I wrote a book.
Getting to I Do. Feel free, whoever's out there, to read it about being attracted to other people for marital reasons. And you'll start to understand everything I teach is based on science of the body, not religions, not policies, just plain science.
That's right. That's great teachings, Pat. And that you have, your work has impacted, I want to say millions of people, but I know it's probably close to millions of helping people have successful relationships. And that leads me to Sue, who you can contact through the WANT Institute to get into some of these groups to help with your communication skills so that you don't bomb your relationships.
Remember, there are four entities in every relationship, whether it's parenting, whether it's relatives. There are two men and two women, instinctive and intuitive, that have to learn to waltz together. I teach people how to negotiate, not intimidate with fear, and not seduce with guilt and shame. But if you're born in the wrong country or you're born in the wrong family, you're going to be screwed up and in therapy if you stay alive for a while.
Well, that being said, I thank you. And Sue, I think maybe we should be ready for some callers. What do you think about that?
Oh, does Dr. Allen have any more last words or quotes?
Do you have anything else to say?
Beware of your character. It becomes your destiny. If you're born a girl and they raise you to be a boy, therapists make money.
That's right. So call us now. We are at 323-203-0815. And be sure to answer your phone and we will call you back. They don't answer right away, but they see your number and they call you back. So we're ready for Sam when he is. to bring us our caller.
Oh, we're just waiting for some call-ins.
We are. Okay. Well, in the meantime, until we get that, let's see. The other thing I wanted to talk to Pat about was you like to tell women, Pat, about telling that what's the one of the best things.
I want to use one of my tools right now.
Yes.
Patricia?
Yes.
I really appreciate your friendliness, but it is not impressive on people looking to me for scientific answers. Would you be so kind as call me Dr. Pat?
Dr. Allen, even. Okay. Thank you, Dr. Allen. Okay. Or Dr. Pat, which do you prefer?
Hello?
I like Dr. Pat.
Okay. Dr. Pat it is. Thank you so much.
Hi.
Hi. How are you? What can we do for you here?
Hi. Yes, Dr. Pat. Yeah, I have a question for you. It's a weird situation. Anyway, I'm engaged. Okay, I'm doing the things in your book and the tapes and everything. But I'm wondering if I really am engaged because I got a ring when I first started going out with him. It wasn't, I asked him if he wanted to go out.
Whoops, we lost one.
Patricia, make sure that Dr. Pat's no longer so. People, Patricia's going to answer the questions.
I'm here.
Hello?
This is Patricia, and I'm here for you with your question. You think you're engaged, you don't think you're engaged. But
Well, the thing is that I did get, when I started going out with this man, he wanted to be monogamous. I said, well, I'd like a ring, you know, like a commitment ring. And the ring that he gave me, it looks like an engagement ring. Okay, so we're together about 5 months. And then I told him, I said, you know, I asked him about, you know, marriage, what he thinks about it, and this and that. And
okay, technical glitches, but she'll be back. Let's see what happens again. She clicked off again in the middle.
Must be the
here she is.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Here with Patricia Eltidge.
You're here with me, so, Patricia. Very good.
Anyway, what happened was is that he set a date. I got introduced to the whole family, okay, the son, the daughter. I'm spending every weekend together with him. He's constantly talking about, you know, our engagement. And so the thing is that he did say, this is the tricky question. He said, Thanksgiving, I'm going to meet everybody, which I did. He announced it, but he did say he was going to get me on.
Okay.
I think she left again. She'll be back. I don't know what we're having problems here, but there she comes back.
Yeah, I don't know. The phone keeps dropping. I don't know why, but well, anyway, he said he was going to get me another ring, like to make it official, but he didn't. And we had a big fight after Thanksgiving, and we did go to a shop. To go shopping for a ring, and it was very expensive. So I said, if it's not in your budget, you know, because he asked me about it, I said, well, then get something in your budget. But he still didn't come up with.
Okay, well, we're following the question as it comes in and out. Okay.
Yeah, the radio station says it's not their problem, but we'll see if she can stay on. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you should turn your notifications off so they don't bump you off. So anyway, you went back to get the ring. Let's try to make it concise so we can get to the root of the...
Okay, so I said, well, you're going to get the real ring. You know, let's make this ring on my finger, the engagement ring, because it looks like an engagement ring as a stand-in. Okay. He says, okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. He says, yes, would you like to marry me, blah, 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 blah. So then I'm still feeling like he didn't get me the ring. He's the one that was talking about another ring.
It doesn't matter, darling. He said he's engaged to you and you're wearing a ring. So can you be okay with having this ring? And when did you set the date?
In October. He set the date in October. He says maybe even sooner. But I'm wondering why, you know, he seems like he's dragging his feet. He says he's been busy, which he has.
You're engaged. Don't push him in.
That's all I needed to know.
You are engaged. Consider yourself engaged.
Okay.
Trivial things.
Okay, I will do. I accept it now.
Okay. Very good.
And that's about it. But he did say that he had almost second thoughts after our fight. And I said, well, what do you think about it now? He said, no, I'm good. That's what he said.
Okay. He's good. Yes. You have to believe the words they say. Don't second guess them. Don't try to mind read. We don't play mind reading games.
Yeah, I am. That's the problem with me. Is that I tend to second guess everything. That's the problem.
Get out of your head and stay with your feelings and believe what they say until they prove differently.
Till they prove differently. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Okay.
And happy holidays.
Everybody's a little on edge during the holidays. So
I know.
Thank you, caller. Thanks so much.
Thank you,
callers. To call in again, our call-in number is
232. Sue, it's 323.
Oh, 323-203-0815. You can email me a question if you're uncomfortable talking on the air. You can email me at info@drpatallen.com, and we will discuss your question on the air. I do have a question here while we're waiting for a caller.
Okay.
There's a lady that says, my boyfriend and I are different cultural backgrounds, and there are certain expectations that I have from him that he is not willing to embrace. How can I convince him to work with me on personal and family issues?
Oh, well, this is common nowadays. There are all sorts of relationship combinations, and here's how you initiate the conversation. Any delicate, sensitive conversation starts with, I have something sensitive. This is our communication tools that you learn in the groups, by the way. I have something sensitive to talk with you about. Is this a good time? If not now, when? So you put the ball in their court, excuse me, that it's like taking an appointment for a discussion. Then
yes.
Go right into discussing time, space, money, and play. Everything in a relationship is negotiated, including time spent with relatives, which relatives, and you negotiate which relatives you're going to spend time with, which holidays you will honor together or separate. Excuse me. And a negotiation in everything, time, space, money, and play. So this one is to do with time spent, how you spend your time, how you spend your holidays. So I encourage people to learn these tools that are in the book, Getting to I Do and Staring Married and Loving It, and It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe. These are the crux of Dr. Pat Allen's work on communication.
Yes, the One Institute. I just want to go over some of the tools. It's there's three tools to protect yourself. These are Dr. Pat Allen's philosophies. And one of them is a stroke. And that technique is designed to cross the transaction from another's critical or super parent, thus disarming it and allowing the client to remain adult and hopefully hook the adult in the attack. It's like the stroke. We always want to stroke the person, even if we don't like what they're saying or agree with it. And then we have the stand. That's where you put in your contract, what you want and what you don't want. And then you'd make your contract, what I will do or what will you do. So when there's a conflict, You do the stroke, the stand, and the contract. And Patricia, you know about that. Kind of give us an example, because these are like valuable tools in a confrontation. I teach these to my ladies in my group all the time. If you don't like what somebody's saying, you might say, I appreciate you have every right to call me names. However, I'm not comfortable with name calling. I don't want you to do that. And if you continue to do it, I'm going to walk away.
So here, what this last email says is that they have different cultural backgrounds. So you can say, I appreciate that you want to spend time with your family, and I do want to spend time with my family. So that's where the negotiating starts. Every aspect of a relationship needs to be negotiated. So contact us at the One Institute, or contact Sue at the One Institute, and get some skills under your belt.
Perfect. Yes. Okay. While we're waiting for a caller, I do have another email question. Let's see here. It says, my boyfriend and I have a long distance relationship, and there are differences in how we want to handle our sexuality when we are not together. What can we do to work together to achieve a balance of our needs? Ooh, long distance. Those are hard to keep going.
Yes, but I've known some long distance relationships that have lasted years. And sometimes distance makes the heart grow fonder with certain couples. And that, again, that's a negotiating thing. When is enough? When will be enough for each person? So let's say they have their businesses in two different states. And I've worked with people that had worked in California and the other one worked in New York, but they managed to visit each other. And that's just how a part of the negotiation, who spends what time there. Now, if the other, if one of the person says, well, I want an open relationship and see other people, that it can work for some people if both people are on the same page. But if you're, that's not what you're into and that's what the other person wants, that then you're going to hit a wall and you may not be able to stay together. So again, you have to come to the negotiating table between the two of you. What will work? I can see you once a month at your place. You can see me once a month at my place. And once we can see each other halfway in the middle, and people work it out. They do. And then eventually they may want to be one place at the same time together, longer term.
Perfect. Okay. Yes. That's a lot of my ladies in my ladies groups are dealing with long distance relationships. Most of the ladies want to see the men more, and it's very difficult to keep the relationship going when there's a lot of travel involved. So I suggest that they do, like, there's a new thing, Zoom dates, where you set it up and you do like a dinner in front of Zoom. So you're actually
interpersonal
connections. So you have that connection. You know, there's so much texting now, and texting is nice, but it's not personal connection. You don't get any emotions or feelings in a text. You can't tell the emotions that the person's giving you. So telephone is still valuable when you're in a relationship, ladies and gentlemen. Always give time to talk to one another. It's very important to connect.
FaceTime, visual, and
very important. Yes, okay. Let me see. Do we have any callers? Please give us, feel free to call us at 323-203-0815. I know that this is the season where people are shopping, so yes. December's probably going to be a little slow, but we'll still hang with it, getting some tools.
For new listeners, you just tuning in for the first time, this is Pat Allen, Dr. Pat Allen's A call-in relationship show, and we answer your relationship questions at 323-203-0815.
Yes, let's see. Yeah. Okay, here's a good one I pulled up here. My boyfriend has been verbally abusive, not physical. Ooh. What can I do to make him stop cursing at me and berating me?
Okay, ladies.
Take this one slowly so the people can gather it.
Slow. Yes. Yes. This is
a can hear it all.
this is a biggie because especially in our American culture, boys have not been trained to be gentlemen, and they still behave like boys and think that they can berate little girls and like putting their pigtails in the inkwell. So it's up to us. The ladies set the standard. You will have to set your standard in a ladylike feminine way that lets them know, and I will demonstrate. So you have someone who's berating you and name calling. So here's how you do it. It's part of the tools, which is you have every right to do that, i.e. being an ass. And I hear what you're wanting to call me names. However, I'm not comfortable with that. And if you continue to do it, I will be walking out of the room or hanging up the phone. And so are you willing to stop doing that? And you get the contract that they will stop doing it. If they keep doing it, then you actually follow up and hang up the phone or you walk out of the room. And then you can say, and if you continue, if they do it again another time, you say, I appreciate that you want to be how you are with women. However, I'm not going to deal with that. That's not what I'm comfortable with. And this will cause me to leave you forever. So they have to know that there's a price to their mouth going off. Mm-hmm. And you don't yell at them and say, don't do that. Don't call me. You don't scream at them. You don't yell at them. You don't cause a fight, further fight. You just simply rationally, this is rational communication, by the way, you rationally tell them your boundaries, which is, I appreciate, or you don't appreciate it, but I hear you that you want to talk this way. However, I'm not comfortable with it, and I'm not going to continue to put up with it. So if you aren't willing to stop doing it, I will leave the room or hang up the phone if it's on the phone. And are you willing to do that? Are you willing to stop? You get a confirmation from them and say, okay, fine. They go, okay, fine.
Yeah, that's kind of like the stroke and stand or the five-step cleanup. There's different tools that Dr. Allen uses. So these are
ways that you can de-escalate a situation.
Yes,
and these are
a
ways,
confrontation.
And you don't have to quit a relationship and say that's the end of the relationship. This is a training period, training someone to know what works for you and what your comfort zone is. And if he doesn't care about your comfort zone, then he's not going to be a gentleman and he's going to remain a boy, a brat boy, and you don't have to have him in your life because that will not be worth it. You will not stay well in a relationship like that. There's a wonderful book that Dr. Pat recommends. It's called When the Body Says No by Gabor Mate. And that is when women are not comfortable, when they are in abusive relationships and they're in a situation that is not good for them, it will ultimately take its toll on their body. Well, whether it be make you sick, give you diseases, and you have to honor your body first.
Right? Yes, that's true. One of the things... I kind of lost my train of mind. I wanted to say there's a lot of books that Dr. Allen recommends, and everybody's always asking me at the office. I can give you the website that has Dr. Allen's recommended book list. You can go to www.wantinstitute.net, and it has all of her books that she recommends with the authors, so you can order them. And if you have a specific one that she may have requested, usually all of them are available on Amazon. They're not out of print yet, but you can always contact me at the office if you have any questions. I'm more than happy to help people figure out, you know, what they need to read or what kind of steps they need to take as far as, you know, if they're in a relationship, working with a spouse, dealing with children, dating issues, I can always guide you to trained facilitators that will help best for your situation. Patricia is also going to be here this afternoon at 5, and she's going to do some dream interpretation, which is wonderful. We've had that the last couple of shows. We're going to kind of transition. Dr. Allen will be back next week. It's kind of a slow time, but she'll be back to take a few questions. But stay tuned with us at 5, and we have call-ins for dream interpretations. Patricia, tell us, and you also do life scripts. Tell us a little bit. Yes. Life scripts is what everybody should know, because Pat talked about the scripts, how we were raised to become men when we're really born to be women. Tell us more about scripts. That's very informative for people.
Well as boys being raised to be girls nowadays and be too feeling-centeredness, not that they shouldn't feel their feelings, but this is how people get into trouble, is how people get into being two girls in a relationship energetically. Not that two girls being together is wrong, but one person needs to be primarily in the feminine role, and one person needs to be in the primarily masculine role, and that way you have complementary energies in communication so that you don't butt heads. And the life script is how to get to the bottom of how you became you. And we are all programmed from 6 months in utero, believe it or not, of our attitudes, behaviors, reactions, and how we perceive the world based on what we perceive from 6 months in utero and growing up in our families, what our parents, grandparents, and churches and schools formed us. Then as we become adults, and sometimes our lives aren't working, we do this life script work. We dig into your past in a very formulaic way, of like an archaeological dig, to see how you formulated you, and or how you were formulated by all of them, and what of those things no longer serve you. So some of the attitudes, behaviors, thoughts, and the way you perceive life, you can make your decision differently so that you can have a flourishing life and not be stuck in ways that no longer serve you.
Yeah, that's great. And you offer that. Dr. Allen does life script too, if you want information. It's like a 1-hour session. I give you a full questionnaire of these questions to answer about your parents' background. It's kind of strange questions, but they all fit together when Dr. Allen or Patricia goes over them with you. If you want information on life script, you can send me an email and I'll guide you to either Patricia or Dr. Allen. And that's great work to do if you're starting your journey to find out why you do things that kind of mess up your life. It's a good start to get you on the path of growing and healing. Wouldn't you say, Patricia?
Absolutely. This is the most healing technique, I should say, of getting to the things that get in your way of having your life work optimally.
Yes. All the people that call in, we appreciate them because they're on their journey for self-improvement, and that's always a plus during these times, well, especially.
As well as the dream work is such a
The dream work is perfect.
Dream work is really, like I like to say, the back door entrance to your subconscious mind. And a subconscious mind is really how we really think and feel about how we perceive life, and not the conscious mind is shielded. It is filtered. So our dreams are unfiltered, and that is how we can get in touch with our true thoughts and feelings and have our personal growth and transformation and blossom.
Yes. If you're out there, folks, please give us a call and let Patricia or myself help you with any dating questions or relationship questions or communication tools. One other thing, we're going to have a newsletter come out. If anybody would like to be on our newsletter, you can go to our website, drpatallen.com. There is a part, there is a link to sign up to our newsletter. And also we have Dr. Allen's chemistry, compatibility, and communication that is free. It's a streaming video you can watch. It's like an hour long. It's very valuable to get a lot of Dr. Allen's material. Please go to our website and look through that. Let's see here. We have another question. Let's see. It says, my girlfriend does not want to continue our relationship, even though I have proposed to marry her. She won't really discuss why she does not want to get married. And I am not sure if it is her career or something. How do I get some clarity from her?
Oh, well, that's a loaded question. And I don't know who it's coming from, but I can say if she's wanting to end it, it's possible she has some unfinished business or PTSD from past relationships where she's afraid to have more intimacy and further commitment. So what you do, again, Sue, the tools of how to make an appointment to ask somebody to talk with them. Do you want to give the tools for that?
Let's see. Well, I kind of,
you make an appointment to have a serious conversation. And do we have a caller?
No. Oh, yes, we do. We have a caller here. Caller, you're live with Patricia to take your call. Are you on?
Yes, I'm on. My name is Larry. And you were talking about the boundaries earlier that a person must set. Mine's not a romantic relationship, but I've been alive on this earth for 38 years. And is it too late to set boundaries in terms of people? I have a strong personality, but I do have a tough time kind of enunciating my boundaries and then enforcing them. Is it too late for a 38-year-old to do that, I guess would be my question.
Who's 38? You are 38?
I'm 38, yes.
Never too young. And how long have you been in the relationship?
It's my relationship with family, really. Various mm-hmm. family members over mm-hmm. that time period would push back on things, and I wouldn't verbally tell them what I needed from them. And then when I was an older adult, I told them what I needed, and they trampled over my boundaries anyway, so...
Okay.
I'm just trying not to do that with other relationships.
You don't want to do that with other... mean, you don't want to be the one that does that to somebody else. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't want to continue in the pattern of not enunciating what I need.
You want to tell people your boundaries. Well, we mentioned those tools earlier, and... even if it's family members, these communication tools apply to everyone, whether it's family or personal romantic relationships. So you say, you take them one at a time, and instead of just crying to them and saying, don't do that to me, you are going to rationally, like an adult, say, you have a right to be that way. However, I don't like it. I feel disrespected, and... I want to be respected. And by the way, what they're doing is castrating you emotionally, and you're saying, I'm not going to put up with it. So if you continue doing it, I won't be around. It's the same thing. They have to have the price for what happens if they continue the behavior. So you then say it in a rational way, not in a childish, crybaby way, but you then say, and I will leave or hang up the phone, however it is that they're doing it, and you follow through with it and say, I get the contract with them too. Say, are you willing to stop doing that? Because if not, this is what I will do.
Yes, yes, that's exactly what I must do in order to get better results. You know, I know in the past, like you mentioned, sometimes you have to hang up the phone.
But you don't hang it up abruptly. You don't hang it up abruptly. You give them the opportunity to change. You understand?
Yes.
By setting your boundary. First of all, we always give someone the right to be the way they are, even if they're a jerk. So you say, I hear how you are right now, or I appreciate, or I get what you're saying, or I hear what you're saying. However, I don't like it. It feels disrespectful to me, and I don't want that. I want to be respected. So if you continue doing that, I'm going to hang up the phone. So are you willing to not do that? So that way they have the opportunity to be trained to not do that to you.
Right. I see exactly what you're saying. I think that was the extent of which I was calling in. And I've really just, like you said, been changing my adult script. I was taught at a young age not to be respected. My parents didn't do the right scripts for their son, which was me. And, I'm learning all this as I listen to Dr. Pat Allen for the past year. But before then, I didn't know what I didn't know. But like you said, it's a learning process. And
you are here with us now, and that's the main thing, that you are absorbing these tools for your own sake. And you know what else? And for theirs.
Yes.
And for the sake of your family relationships, because you were born into the world as a man, and you, sounds to me like you want to be respected, and you have a right to be respected.
Absolutely.
So you have to ask, you get respected by asking for what you want.
Yes, yes.
And getting the contract at the end of the statement, are you willing to do that? And giving the price, which is, if they don't, I will leave or hang up.
Right. Giving them that chance. But, ultimately, I have to hold others accountable, like what you're saying. And I give them the chance. But if they don't, if they continue to do their behavior, which is their right, then... And that's, I tell them, I also have the right to hang up.
Yes, right.
Well, what I find is when you start, he's mentioned starting to set the boundaries too late. When you start setting the boundaries, it throws the other people off and they don't like it. But you just have to keep doing the stroke and stand until they understand where you're coming from. It could be a couple of weeks or a couple of months of holding on to boundaries until they get it.
Till they get it that they're not going to continue.
They're not going to get it overnight. It's going to hold your boundaries.
They will recognize that you've grown a new set.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And they will change if your behavior is setting boundaries. They will eventually, hopefully, honor them and change to accommodate you. But it may take a few weeks or a few months of continually telling them. Take 6 to 8 weeks to change a behavior. So we have to give them that right to change as well to the new you.
The new you with a nice new set of pelotas.
New set of boundaries. Anybody can start their boundaries at any time. You just have to be consistent and you have to understand it takes time.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. And have a good night.
Thank you for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
I love it. I love it.
That was a good caller, because in my ladies groups, Dr. Allen says, when you're changing a behavior, we learn how to walk and we walk without thinking. We talk without really thinking about what we say. When you want to learn new language, you have to be aware of what you're saying. And you have to practice saying it the correct way. And it can take up to 6 to 8 weeks to change it, for it to become a habit. And that's kind of difficult, because we all like to resort back to what's comfortable. And that might be the emotional communication. And the WAN Institute, Dr. Pat Allen's teaching, we teach rational communication, which is how to communicate your wants and your not wants. And negotiate with love with your other person, whether a family, your husband, your children, even this can even work with children.
At the office, and
co-workers, bosses, your spouse. And some people just start, like he said, he thought he was too old. It's never too old. My ladies have, you know, they're starting to set boundaries, and they didn't think they could speak up for themselves. Oh, can I say that? I go, yes, if you say it in a rational tone, rational language, not emotional.
There we go.
Let's see.
What do you have?
Let's see. We're going to be, okay, here's, oh, this is one. Boy, we have a lot from the boys today. My girlfriend is very bossy and it is really annoying. I have asked her to stop giving me orders or directions when I don't want them, but she continues to do so. What can I do to get her to stop this?
Sue, you deal with that one in your ladies' groups, don't you?
Well, let me read that question again. Okay. Oh, well, here's the sad thing is that there's so many masculine women out there because Women's Lib taught women to be equal with men. It's great in the workforce, but it's not good with relationships. All women and men are equal in the workforce, but when you're in a relationship, you have to have the two polarities. You have to decide, ladies, if you want to be masculine or feminine as your main suit and that, in a relationship.
And that applies whether you're gay or straight.
Gay or straight. Because so, the two energies, if you have a feminine energy as her main dominance and a masculine energy as his main dominance, they attract like magnets. If you have somebody that's carrying more of their masculine and another that's carrying more masculine, they repel and you fight. And we all have masculine and feminine, but we both carry a little bit more of one or the other. So that's when Dr. Allen talked about, do you want to be respected or cherished? If you're masculine, you want to be respected. If you want to be more feminine, you want to be cherished.
So in this instance, with the girlfriend being bossy, here's an old story Pat used to use. And Dr. Pat always used this story where you're driving on the freeway.
Yeah.
The women are known as backseat drivers. And it's the most annoying thing for a man, for a woman to say, get off the freeway, get off at the next exit. Well, she says, let them off the hook, let them pass the exit. Now that's going to be knuckle biting for women who are used to calling the shots and bossing men around, but that is disrespectful. Let them pass, unless they delegate you to navigate, then it's another story. If your husband or boyfriend says, oh, please navigate where, I don't know where we're going exactly, please navigate. Yes, say get off at the next exit. But if you are not asked to take that role, you just bite your tongue and wait till he figures it out, because this backseat driving, a man is single focused and he can't be listening to you yapping and him trying to drive at the same time and looking for signs. So the bossy thing has to be handled.
The way Dr. Allen also, the way I learned it from her was you have one president, that's the masculine, and you have one vice president, that's the feminine. Or the president makes the rules. The vice president, feminine energy, can veto it if it's illegal, immoral, unethical, or hurts your body. Other than that, she follows her chosen man.
That's right. Even if they're passing the exit on the freeway.
Oh.
Right. You there? Is Sue there? Hello.
Just a second. I clicked my iTunes account. Hold on, folks.
Oh.
Okay. We're having some music here. Sorry.
That's the beauty of of live talk radio, people.
My computer went dead. We're going to be taking some calls. I have a couple of callers on that want to have their dreams interpreted. So if you, in the next hour, we're going to be doing some dream interpretation. If you want to call in with your dream, Our call-in number is 323-203-0815. Or if you want to call in just to have a question answered or some information on Dr. Allen's teachings, we are here to help you in any way we can. let's see.
The beauty of Dr. Pat's system is the fact that it is a system. It's methodical. It's systemized. It's easy to learn.
It is. You have to understand. And don't forget, if you have on iTunes, iPhone, it has iTunes podcasts. Google Dr. Pat Allen. She's got tons of recordings from her monthly seminars. So you can listen to those and you actually learn like from osmosis, listening to the same questions over and over. You actually get it. That's how a lot of my ladies also understand a lot. I have them listen to Dr. Allen's material repetitiously and it just sinks in osmosisly.
That's right.
You're bound to get it if you listen to it enough.
It's the drip method.
It's the drip method. And also, a lot of them have to learn the painful lessons. And once you learn a painful lesson, I guarantee you will not repeat it again if you learned what you did to cause that problem.
Okay.
Let's see. Sam, I had a person that wanted to have her dream interpreted. Yeah, let's see if we can get a hold of her. And if you want your dream interpreted, please feel free to give us a call or you can email me as well, info@drpatallen.com.
And again, why the dreams are so important is to get you in touch. When you're ruminating, sometimes you're ruminating in a relationship or a decision-making process. Oh, should I? Shouldn't I? Oh, should I be with this person? Should I not? Should I quit?
We have the caller on. Sorry to cut you off, Patricia. Yes. Caller, you're on.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I had a little bit of a dream, and I just wanted to see if I could tell me what it meant.
Absolutely.
Okay, so in the dream, I was in like a tan cab or like a Coupe de Ville style car with an old boyfriend that I dated a long time ago. He's very tall, very good looking, beautiful blue eyes. And in the dream, he lived in a desert state, Arizona or Southern California. And then we pulled into a car dealership. And the building was very 70s in style. And so we went inside a courtyard and the upper level was all glass windows. And I knew in the dream, but I didn't see, my current lover was up there watching me with the ex-boyfriend. So the ex and I were out of the car. We were admiring plants in the courtyard. And then the dream then transitioned to this very odd family-style dinner with about 40 people at a long rectangular table. And the host was Elliot Gould, the actor. And he was making sure everyone had a chair. And so the ex and I sat at the end of the table. And then, again, I knew, but I couldn't see that my current lover was at the table as well, but he wasn't near me. And then my ex was secretly holding my hand under the table and telling me that I was clever.
Uh-huh. So let me ask you this. Could you give me, in a nutshell, the character type of the old lover?
He was considerably younger than I was. Character type.
How would you describe him in a nutshell? Not physically necessarily, just
okay. In a nutshell, he was very he was military, and I think he had a lot of deep-seated emotional issues that he didn't talk about, but he was always very affectionate towards me and very much a gentleman and always treated me like a lady.
But there were some hidden issues there. Why it didn't work out?
Yeah, they weren't hidden. He told me he was struggling. He had gone on two tours of duty and after 9/11, and he came back and was pretty messed up. So I mean, I knew it was going on, but he admitted that there were issues, but he didn't talk about the issues. If that makes sense.
And this car, that it was an older model car.
Yeah, it was like an old tan Coupe de Ville or an old tan Cadillac. I mean, really huge, like a land yacht.
Yes, right. Okay. Well, cars in our dreams represent our way through life. So okay. This is like a sort of a vintage luxury car, you're saying?
During the 70s, it probably would have been considered a luxury car.
Right, I'm saying so it's a vintage, old vintage luxury car from the... And so it's an old way through life. It's not a, your current... So, and this lover is a former lover. So what in your present day, I want to connect your current life to your dream, your subconscious mind, which is what the dream is. So I'm helping you connect the dots. So what are you dragging into the new relationship that was an old style and a... relationships style that didn't work then? So how are you potentially contaminating your current relationship?
I don't have a current relationship.
I thought you said your current lover.
Yeah, that in the dream it was somebody that I was dating currently. Oh. But I'm not dating anybody. That's what was weird about it.
You're not. Okay, so this is an indication that you want to, do you want to be in a relationship?
Yeah, I would like that.
Okay, so what it's indicating to me is that you still need to do some cleanup from an old style of relating, an old way through life that no longer serves you, that is not modern, it's not current. So what can you be doing to enhance your chances of being in a healthy relationship?
Well, you know, leave the house once in a while, maybe.
Okay, well, that's what this dream is too. There's a big family. Look at all the people that these are all represent aspects of yourself, by the way. So in the dreams, everyone and everything in the dreams represents aspects of yourself. So you are yearning to have all these different aspects. And there were men and males and females at the long table?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So those are your thoughts and feelings. And you're moving away from an old style of being. And now you are, hopefully, it sounds like maybe you're trying to open it up and allow some people to come into your life, or like you said, go out. Are you starting to make some efforts?
Like
a party. This dream sounds like a party. When are you going to be available to show up to the party?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know.
Okay. Now I'm posing that question to you so you can put that in your subliminal state, which is the Lyman state. You put a pad by your bed. My book is called The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. And you put a pad by the bed and you say, what can I be doing to enhance my chances of socialization and possibly meeting someone? So you put that by your bed and your subconscious mind will work for you while you're sleeping.
Okay. All right.
So it's encouraging, this dream is encouraging you to do something about getting yourself out and available for the party.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sue, are we there?
Oh, I'm sorry. We had a Facebook question. There was a lady, Dr. Allen says, don't ask a man how he feels. But this lady asked a question. Her boyfriend that she's dating is on dialysis. And is she okay to ask him how he's feeling since it's a major illness? How would she approach that?
Well, if it's the system goes like this. If someone is sick, whether they're male or female, you help someone who is sick and you offer help. You let them have it be their choice and say, yes. We always say that don't help unsolicitedly men over 10, boys over 10, unless they ask. But now we're talking about the extra elderly, the elderly or the sick, then you ask if they need any assistance and what can you do for them to help them feel better. because okay. they are in a weakened state, and then it can be their choice to say, yes, you can do this for me, or no, I don't need your help.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Good point to consider. We're doing either a call-in for your dreams interpreted, or if you have any questions answered. I have another question here. I am a very attractive, fit, and successful businesswoman in my mid-30s and cannot find a boyfriend who matches my energy. What should I do about this? Isn't that masculine energy woman? You know, being a super couple is not productive in relationships. It's good for business, but not in relationships. Why is that, Patricia?
Right on, Sue. Well, if you want,
they all want to be equal. Energy,
they are going to be a good business partner, maybe,
yes.
to match your energy. But you want someone to complement your energy. First and foremost, let's say to this lady, are you a career woman? Or are you a woman with a career?
So that's a good point. And the difference is a career woman, she puts work first, and a woman with a career puts relationships first.
Right.
Yes. So that's what I ask my ladies too. And they get a little confused because they want it both.
Everybody wants it both. And guess what?
Single. And what I try to say is, if you want to be respected and cherished both, your co-partner has to be a zero, because they don't get to have a main role. They can't jump around feminine and masculine as quick as you want to be respected and cherished. You have to have a main preference to carry on through the relationship, and each one keeps that polarity.
Let's talk about this woman again who wrote in, and that would be, she has a right, by the way, to be in the masculine position. If she so chooses that she is a career woman, that is certainly her right. Then she will be better off finding a more feminine oriented man.
Well, here's the thing that I can chime in on that. A lot of my ladies, they don't like the feminine energy because they're not assertive and do things as good as this woman. She wants a man that's a better man than she is. And
she has to keep her mouth shut, doesn't she, Sue? Right?
What?
Doesn't she have to keep her mouth shut then?
Yes. I always tell my women, are you trying to be a better man? Because this man you're with won't want to be around you when he gets put into the feminine role. Like that. So pick what you want to carry on in your relationship. I get it that you're a good career woman, but if you want to be in a relationship, pick what you want to be, respected or cherished, feminine or masculine.
And you can be great at your office and in your business life and hang your plastic balls up at the office door when you leave.
Let me ask you something too, I believe a lot in about what quantum physics, we're all vibration.
Yes.
What you think about comes about. People can pick up when you're pissed off at men because they're not being man enough, and they get that energy. If you're going out thinking all men are idiot and lazy, every man that's idiots and lazy will come to you. You have to shift your energy, ladies, to positive in order to attract a healthy human being that vibrates the same energy as you. I think that's very important in my teachings.
Very, very important. And not to get into these girls groups that bitch about men.
That will keep you in the negative mindset, and you will only attract negativity into your life. We all vibrate, and whatever vibration you are, you attract that. You got to think and be feminine. You got to think positive. And feminine energy is the sexual central feeling. Feels good.
Right. Energy. So when these cartoons and things come up on Facebook and Instagram that are putting down men and man-hating, and women think it's funny. It's not funny, ladies. It's not funny. It's only going to keep you into the mindset of being a man-hater, and that will not attract a man to you.
Because, again, when you keep that behavior going of bashing men, it becomes a habit. And then it becomes your character. And then it becomes your destiny, like Dr. Allen says. So you have to really think about what's going on in your head. What comes out of your mouth turns into your character and your beliefs. So it's very important if you want to attract a healthy man or a healthy woman that you keep in the polarity of positive energy, uplifting, and pick your main suit, masculine or feminine, and carry that throughout the relationship. Don't jump back and forth.
Are you a career woman or a woman with a career? Think of it that way. Pick a conceptual position and you will conceptually say, oh, well, maybe I don't want to be just a career woman, because that will sometimes nullify your chances of attracting a healthy relationship. So maybe think about being a woman first that has a career.
Yes, yes. So I've got a couple more callers that are going to be calling us for your dreams.
And those dreams are found in my book, The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself by Patricia Eltinge, found on Amazon. And it's a beautiful coffee table book, as well as the valuable information to assist you in your personal growth and transformation journey.
Yeah, we have a caller we're trying to hook up right now. But after this next caller, will you tell us a little bit about how, you know, the dreams, a little bit more about the dreams, how they come to you? And
yes.
You know, I never used to dream until I started listening to you. And then now I'm dreaming all the time. But I kind of figure them out myself, what's going on. I just put it together.
Good.
They don't have to be that perfect, but I kind of figure out what's going on. Oh, we have a caller here. She got connected here. Caller, you're on with Patricia. Are you with us? Oh, I think he'll call her back.
A male or female, I don't know. Okay, well, we'll be here for them. And anyway, the book talks about it's cross-cultural, too. Oh, here we go.
Oh, here we go again. Oh, hi. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a dream to share with Patricia?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I was with my partner, and we had just bought a house, and we're moving into it. And I was pulling up to the house, and I realized for the first time maybe that the driveway was with the street up to it and the driveway to the house was very narrow, almost so narrow that it could only fit like one car. I was watching a car in front of me like do a 3-point turn into its driveway.
A different driveway? A different driveway?
Yeah, a different driveway. And a woman was coming behind me, so I let her go first. And she understood, like, oh, my goodness, look at that tight squeeze. Like, good luck with that, almost. And then I got into the door. And
you did what? You did what into a door?
I was able to do like a 3-point turn, like get into the driveway, and I walked into the door, and in our new house, there was a man there, and I can't remember, I must have known him, but maybe it was a mutual friend, and he was talking about my partner's like investments. And it was interesting because I didn't know a few of them. Like one in particular was, he was saying that he's $100,000, like he took $100,000 loan out. And then I just remember waking up thinking, he has like millions of dollars. Why is he taking a loan out?
Who was taking the loan out? The friend or the other person, or your partner?
My partner.
So when you're going, you said you're going up the driveway. So the driveway was going uphill?
It was just kind of a flat road.
Oh, not up.
But I was going to, no, just kind of turning left into the house, into the driveway. Mm-hmm. It was just bizarre because the street was not long, was not wide enough for two lanes. It was just one car width.
On the street as well, and the driveway also?
Yeah.
They were both, the street and the driveway were both very narrow.
Very narrow.
Okay, yeah. So, and only enough for one car. Well, your car, and you were you in the car alone or with your partner?
I was in the car alone.
Okay, well, cars, again, I've said before, are way through life. And in this instance, your way through life, there's only enough room for one. You're not making room for two. So where in can you connect to this in your waking life where you are in a way acting single? Are you acting single in your life and there's not enough room for two?
Yeah, so much so I sabotage my relationship.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this dream indicates that you're not making room for two. There's just room for you, and that's narcissism. So let's get to, in your life, what we can do to allow you to have a healthy relationship so you can make space for the other person. Have you picked a, are you in the feminine or masculine position in your relationship?
Oh, I'm so in my masculine right now. I'm ruining
it. Or you're both. In this dream, I think maybe you're both. You want to be in the feminine. Oh. A masculine. You want to be feel. You want your feelings cherished and your thoughts respected.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Well, that's narcissism. That's narcissism, and that's why there's not room for two. There's not enough room for two people with a narcissist. The other person has to be a nothing, a zero.
Yeah, he's not willing to do that.
Well, are you willing to give up one of your positions?
Yeah, I am.
Well, are you willing to give up your masculine position as being your predominant position and let your feminine be your guide?
Absolutely. I want to do that.
Okay. Well, this is why we have the Want Institute teaching tools so women can learn how to navigate their relationships and not bomb them and not so that they... make room for two to tango.
I see.
Well, let's hopefully you can sign up for a group or call us to see if you can get some coaching and see how we can undo this way you've designed your life to not make room for another person so you can have a flourishing relationship.
Can I ask you another one really fast?
Okay. Sue, do we have time for that? I think so. Okay, unless she says, yeah, let's go.
I'm sorry. Yes, yes, we do. Sorry. Yes, we do.
Thank you. So I was waiting for a train with a couple girlfriends, and I needed to open my suitcase to grab something. And then the train came, and I asked, the staff person, oh, is this my train or is it the next one? And the guy at the counter said, oh, it's the next one. And then I looked up and my friends were already on that train, but the door closed and I missed the train. So it was just kind of like, oh man, I bad timing because I opened the suitcase, but then I felt like that guy kind of sabotaged me too. But then my girlfriends were like, they're on the train.
You were supposed to be following them on the train and you missed the boat? You missed getting on it?
Yeah.
And who was the guy that you thought got in the way of that?
He was just like a staff, like a person who worked at the train station. He had like the uniform on that you know, kind of mans the train station.
A person of authority. So this is your gut. There's an authority figure in you that is indeed making you miss the boat and getting on the train. Trains are masculine, by the way, and a way that, again, that's a vehicle. And the girlfriends are on the train. Girlfriends, and who are they? What are their character types?
They're pretty masculine too.
Mm-hmm. So that's the side of you. That's and they represent the masculine side of you that's going full steam ahead. But fortunately, in this dream, there is a feeling centered authority that you're listening to. I don't know who that would be, but there is some kind of a feeling centered authority that you are maybe not going to go that route, which is the masculine route, which is with all those women, masculine, and the train is masculine. You're going to go. I think I'm thankful that you missed this train. That maybe you are learning something that you better just hold your horses and stick with your feelings.
Okay.
What was with the suitcase? Well, you were opening the suitcase?
Yeah.
What was in the suitcase?
Some clothes and toiletries.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember, but I needed something from it, like, urgently.
Mm-hmm. You needed something from the toiletry department or the clothing department?
I think the toiletry department.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's maybe like first aid. You're trying to heal yourself. Are you doing, what are you doing in your life to heal yourself so you can have a better life? Are you doing anything to heal your life?
Yeah, I'm in Sue's women's group. You're Patricia, right? I contacted you.
I am. So yeah. Let's keep that on track, that you are actually, between the first dream and the second dream, you are actually doing something about your wound or your wounds. You are making some effort to not get on that bullet train to masculine.
Okay. That's good news. Yeah, it was okay.
Keep recording your dreams and call us back next week. We'd love to hear more from you. The progress.
Okay, I will. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that was a good dream interpretation, Patricia.
Well, very good. I love to see when people's dreams often come in sequences. And you can see someone's progress of where they're making efforts to have personal growth. It can be very evident when they are actually doing something to transform their lives.
Yeah. Yes. I have a couple other questions that have been asked for me in the past. A lot of times I've had some women that, like on the third or fourth date, the men ask, "Well, are you paying for this one?" That the men don't always want to give continuously. Women, give back. I know Dr. Allen talks about the three, every 2 to 3 dates, a woman gives back less. Could you go over what you know about that philosophy from Dr. Allen? I know a little bit about it, and I express that to my ladies. But tell me more in detail, and I'll rally it with you, what I believe.
Yeah, well, Dr. Pat always talked about 2 to 1 at least. Have the men give 2 to 1, 2 to your 1. So if they take you out a couple of times, then you give back. It's either offer to take them or offer to cook them a dinner.
But it has to be less than what they gave you. If they took you out to 3 nice dinners, don't be a better man and take them out to a better dinner place than they did. You have to go under their level of giving.
So whatever it is, you think of it in terms of 2 to 1. And 2 to 1 or 3 to 1, but
3 to 1, whatever's comfortable. Yeah, because I've had some girls where the guys shocked them, going, "Are you paying for this?" It was like date 5, and I said, "Oh no, you pay 2 to 1. Give back less."
You know, and thus you're starting to negotiate your relationship.
Yes.
When you negotiate, if you're getting past 3 dates and you're starting to get closer to being in a committed relationship, then you start negotiating the stuff, time, place, money, and play. But so if we're talking about 5 dates here, at least you start talking about how you expect each other to deal with money, and don't just expect a man. Men don't want to feel
like they're the cash cow, you know, and they're just paying them for your meal ticket. Oh, we have another caller here.
Okay.
Caller, are you on? Do you have a dream for us or a question?
Yes, Dr. Pat, how are you?
It's not Dr. Pat, it's Patricia Eltinge tonight for the second half.
It's me, but I think I know who this is. What do you have for us?
I was going to ask Dr. Pat, but maybe Patricia knows. Are you only doing dream stuff right now?
No, she'll take your question.
She'll take questions.
All right, and now I remember Pat used to have a formula for helping you pick out if someone is 51% valuable. And then I remember she mentioned a book about sensual touching. I was interested in those two things, if you guys have any information on that.
And the first question was, the first part of it?
The first question was, I know Pat has a formula for figuring out if somebody is 51% valuable. I was wondering if you recall that.
That's one of her old tools.
I know it, but I'll let Patricia
go ahead.
Do it.
Go ahead, Sue. You go right ahead.
Dr. Pat says, if they're 51% valuable on the worst day when you want to punch them in the face, they're a keeper.
Oh, yes, I know that, but I remember once she elaborated a little bit more about how you figure out that 51.
You figure that out by taking a tally over a period. You determine the period. It's usually 30 days, and you put a plus or a minus on each calendar day. So if today they were still 51%, this day gets a plus. Maybe they were 90%, but if they go below 50%, you put a minus on that day. If they were 49, 48, 47, you put a minus on that day. 30 days into it, you count the pluses and minuses.
And that gives you a gauge to go with whether they're valuable enough. Yes, you just keep track, but
thank you very much. I had forgotten that part. And I know it's on last week's show, but I remember she was talking about the sensual touching things. But I would even take a recommendation from you guys, because I know somebody, but it's good stuff to know too. Ways to re-engage the passion when it's not quite there. She had a suggestion, but I'm certainly willing to hear what you guys have to say too.
Patricia, remember in her book she talks about the bathtub where you don't talk and stuff. Do you remember that? Patricia will tell you.
There's wonderful books on Tantra touch, and this is a Tantra exercise where you do something together, whether you take a bath together and you can wash each other, look at each other in the eyes, or you can you can sit on cushions opposite each other and just look in each other's eyes. But you can find books on Tantra, T-R-A-N-T-R-A, and there's a book called Touching, and it's all about sensuous touch that does not involve sexual intercourse, but it is very sensual. And so bringing back the sensuality is more important for intimacy than just sex.
Oh, yes, I definitely agree with that. So you said, was there a specific tantric book that you recommended?
Oh, boy. There may be one called touching, as I recall, that Dr. Pat used to use. But you can look that up online, books on tantric.
We have Dr. Allen. I don't know if you heard. We have Dr. Allen's book list at wantinstitute.net. It has tons of books that you can look at. But also the book Getting to I Do has a part where she talks about in the bathtub, you don't talk, you have low candles, and you feed each other and do feathers. There's a part where you do that kind of sensual type of an exercise.
Right. It's a tantric exercise where you touch each other. It's in the Getting to I Do book.
Yes. I don't know what chapter it is, but it is in there. Mm-hmm. If you want to email me, I can find it for you, and I'll give you the answer tomorrow.
I heard the book list part, but there was a specific part in, is it Pat's book you're talking about or somewhere, somewhere else?
In the book Getting to I Do, there's a chapter that Dr. Allen talks about. You go into a bathtub and you have candles lit. You don't talk. You just touch and feed each other, wash each other, do candles. You know, close your eyes and touch, no talking for I think a half hour. And when you get out, she has you write down separately how you felt about that experience. I believe I read that in the book.
Oh, that's great. I mean, I have Dr. Pat's book, so I can certainly.
Yeah, it's under Getting to I Do. It's one of the chapters. She recommends it all the time in her seminars.
All right. Well, hey, I certainly appreciate it, ladies, and I hope you have a good rest of your show.
Thank you for calling in.
All right. Bye for now.
We love to hear men wanting to please a lady also. That is very cherishing to try to pleasure a lady other than just give sexual intercourse. So we're talking about touch, and touch is intimacy.
It is. Let me ask you another question, Patricia. Since, you know, like with women's lives where there's a lot of masculine women, the men have pretty much turned more feminine and like the ladies to chase them. It's what I hear about, you know, men are not assertive anymore and they want the women to chase and basically get free sex. What's your take on that, and how can women turn that around so that they can they turn the men around to have them start to chase, or is it a never ending, men are always going to be the lazy ones? In society now it's switching to that.
It's a lot. Well, if there's it's on the book list too. It's the war against boys, and there's boys are being emotionally castrated nowadays, and the way they're raised and the way they're allowed to treat women. And women, by the way, are very castrating themselves because they don't respect. They do not respect boys, even in school. And so we want the girls to learn to respect boys at a young age. They start learning these tools. Hopefully the mothers and fathers can teach boys to cherish girls, and the parents can teach the boys to cherish girls, and the girls to respect the boys. So this is very, very subtle work, but nowadays is the girls that grow up to be ballsy women who disrespect men, and they have no other choice other than to just roll over and be feminine and not chase. So
that's a choice, though, which is a hard choice for a lot of women, to change their behavior of being a strong, assertive woman to be a docile woman. They feel like they're being doormats, but that's not what it's about at all.
No,
it's about being complimentary.
yes, and it's the feminine way.
Yes,
the potent feminine way. You can be potent in your femininity, and get what you want by knowing what you don't want.
Uh huh.
You don't want to chase a man. You don't chase a man. You can smile at them, encourage them to come towards you.
Yes.
And you flirt. Flirting is feminine, and we encourage men to. Women sometimes get pissed if men don't come towards them and stay angry, but stay in the place where you're flirting. Think French coy.
I know. Yes.
There's a wonderful little book called "What French Women Know," and I love that book. And there's another one called "From Notes from an Old a Young Bride," and these books will help women find a way to be in touch with their feminine and have the masculine energy come towards them, teaching them to be receptive, that we will receive. And if they don't come towards us, they don't get us. We don't have to go after them.
That's true. I'm just giving some examples. Like a lot of the women, when the guys contact them, the guys, you know, only talk about themselves, which is, you know, they're peacocking. And I tell the women, you know, just talk about them, the ladies, I tell them, be open and talk about your feelings about yourself. Don't interview men, but be uplifting and share about yourself to the man so he gets to know a little bit about you. And it brings out your feelings.
Yes, if they ask, but they love to present themselves just like
men do. Yes.
They like to present themselves the way peacocks do, as you said. And so they're presenting and to see if what they have to offer is what you like. Yeah. And we don't want to put them down for doing that. That's the master.
Well, a lot of women do. They go, all he talks about is himself, which is a sign that the woman is going masculine and wanting to be equal. Another thing I catch is that these women, they're mad about the guy only wants to talk about himself, but that's how he presents. And remember, the feminine energy picks the man. The sperm chases the egg. So these women have been trained to try and get the man to pick them. It's gone opposite. They try to like present themselves and with their hands, pick me to the men.
Well, you do. You can present yourself in the best light you can, but let them interview you.
Yeah.
We want the men to interview us, but if they want to present themselves and brag about themselves, accolades, they're only trying to make you want them,
or
which is fine. They want to present themselves as somebody who's a viable partner.
Yes, so that's the part that I teach my women to let the men talk and present themselves, because they're trying to impress you as best they can.
And just say, ooh, fantastic.
I tell them that too. And they, you know, it's a very hard struggle now. I feel sorry for a lot of the women out there. I'm sorry. But it's a couple of tools and a couple of techniques and you can get it. You know, we have another caller here. Caller, are you on?
Hello?
Yes, we have Patricia Elkins taking calls today.
Oh, hi. I do have a question. Can you hear me well?
Yes.
Okay. So the dilemma I'm in is I'm engaged to a man, and I am planning on leaving the relationship. I've decided it's not for me, but I want to do that in a way after the holidays.
In a way that what? I couldn't hear you. What?
Yeah, speak up a little, caller. You're kind of fading out.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, that's
like
good.
After the holidays was the plan. Though I hear that he's planning on buying an engagement ring tomorrow, and I don't know how to kind of discourage it without giving it away, that I don't know how to kind of maneuver the situation.
Let me take this here. Why don't you wait till he does that? You're trying to be a mind reader now, and you're trying to get ahead of the game. So you are trying to lead. Now, you don't want to be in the relationship anymore at all, I understand?
Yes.
Oh, you want to exit. Well,
exactly.
Then why don't you give him the golden parachute when he asks you instead of waiting? If you don't want to be with him anymore at all, are you living together or just dating?
We live together.
You're living together. Okay. Well, that's trickier. And so you want to plan an exit?
Yeah, I have a plan for the new year.
You have a plan for the new year. Well, if he buys, you'll just see if he presents you. You can't preempt what he does. So all you can do is if he does present it to you, is say, thank you so much. I have to think about this. You don't have to accept it because he offers it.
Okay.
But say that's a beautiful gesture. I so appreciate it. It's a lot for me to think about. And I have to really digest this. That's a lot for me to think about. But thank him for the gesture. Always thank somebody for any kind of gesture and effort they make. But you don't have to accept it.
Yeah, I understand that. That makes sense.
As far as your planned exit, what is your planned exit?
I'm going to move out. I have another job lined up.
You have a job lined up?
Yeah.
In another area?
Exactly.
Outside of the area you're in. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that being said, you can tell him that, but have to say you wanted to discuss it after the holidays. If he presents you with the ring, you would thank him so much for the beautiful, heartfelt gesture, and you're going to think about it.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I think I just had to get that space out of assuming it's never really worked out. It's a thing that in my script that I have to get over.
Give us a call next week and let us know how it goes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would call back.
We'll help you through the next phase on exiting.
That's going to be the hard part for sure.
phase two of an appropriate exit, and we'll show you.
Yes, that'll be good. That'll be a good
right
one.
Exactly.
Yes.
All right. Appreciate your help.
Thank you, caller.
Right.
Well, it's difficult. I do tell everyone that I'm working with now to not make any huge decisions or choices during the holidays. Do wait till after the holidays. It's a very volatile time of year, and everybody's charged right now. So
yeah, and nobody wants to hurt people. Everybody wants to wait till after the holidays to get.
It's the right thing to do.
That'll be a good one. I'd like to find out next week if the caller calls back, if she does take the ring, and how you can help her guide the exit on if she wants to take the proposal or how she exits it and leaves it. Mm-hmm. But that'll be a good one. So we're going to cut the show a little short today, Patricia, if that's okay.
Okay.
And then we've got a newsletter coming out. We're just starting this new kind of forum. We'll have Dr. Allen on a little bit longer next week to take a few questions. And it's going to be Patricia and me rallying. And we want to start incorporating dream interpretation. So if you're listening to this archive, call us on the radio station, or you can send me an email if you want to be on the radio show, and we can give you a call back. You'll be in the queue to be called. That would be great. Anything else you want to tell the callers, Patricia?
I do want to tell everyone that all our dreams wish us well. So even if you have weird or scary dreams, they're meant to bring us our personal growth and transformation. So sweet dreams.
Thank you. And join us next week on www.latalkradio.com. And our call-in number is 323-203-0815. You can call or send me an email with questions at info@drpatallen.com, or check out Dr. Allen's website, drpatallen.com. It's D-R, patallen.com. And we look forward to seeing you next week.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.